the wonderful honor of being able to share with you about our Philippines missions trip. So I would just like to start out with prayer. Dear God, I thank you for the honor of being your child. I thank you for the honor of being obedient to you when I align myself to what you've asked me to do. I thank you for each and every person here, and I just ask that as we share what you did, how you used us as your instruments in the Philippines, that they will feel as if they were there, that they will feel what we felt, that we will truly be able to impart to them the blessing that you used us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, the lights went dim when I was praying and my eyes were closed, but I could tell, and I thought, am I going blind up here because I'm so nervous? It's okay. I would like for everyone who participated in some way with the Philippines trip to stand. So in other words, if you prayed for the missions trip, either before, while we were there, even after we came back, if you gave financially in any way, I'd just like for you to stand for a minute. And I want to tell you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And those in the Philippines, thank you very much. You may go ahead and have a seat. After we returned from the Philippines, I've received quite a few emails from the pastors that were over there, and I just want to start this out by sharing some of those, and then we'll kind of go back in time to why they may have sent those emails. One of them is from Pastor Jerome. He says, "We are so thankful enough to God for allowing you to come to us. Truly, you are all a blessing to us, and we are hoping that you will come back for another conference." Pastor Floor says, "We're so blessed to have you in our life. Thank you for giving us your time to come and visit us in our place. We're so blessed with the conference. All the messages and the topics are all that we needed for our believing Christians' life. It's a blessing to our Filipino people, to the Christians, ministers that are feeding on us in the Word of God, that we are full with the Word, not only with the Word, but physical food as well. We thank you all and love you." Pastor Mario says, "Thank you so much. You've traveled thousands of miles just to obey the Lord in coming here. We thank you for your sacrifice of time, energy, and money that you have used to come see us." Pastor Mark says, "Good day. God is good all the time. Thank you for obeying the Lord. You and your team are a great blessing to us. I thank God for our fellowship and friendship in Christ. We will treasure it in our hearts. Thank you for the blessing that you have extended to us. God bless you, your servant in Christ." And then Pastor Virgie, she says, "Greetings. Praise the Lord. God is so good, and he has really done great things through the conference. Praise the Lord that it was successful. The pastors were both blessed physically and spiritually. Thank you for all of your efforts and time, and it was nice to have you all here. I believe the conference was great and the teaching was perfectly right for the pastors. The jeepney is really blessing us as well, as it will generate income for us, not only as a church, but also as the brethren. And it can be used here in the ministry as well. Praise the Lord. And that is why I can't help but cry myself, because God is really good and faithful. Please extend our heartfelt gratitude to all the brethren at By His Word Christian Center for their unending love, support, and prayer. We thank you all. We know that God will bless you even more for your wonderful hearts. Love, Sister Virgie." Those are just some emails of gratitude that I had the joy of getting back after we got back. So what were they so thankful for? Well, it was God ultimately, right? Because without God, none of this would have happened. But when we were preparing for this, I remember in one of our prayer meetings, Pastor Lonnie said, "You know, I just really sense that there's going to be some opposition against us." And so we prayed against that. And I'm sure that some of those of you that were praying were also praying against any opposition that would come against us. And truly, God is good and God is faithful. Probably the biggest opposition that we faced was getting there. When we landed in Manila, we spent the night. We got in at 11 o'clock at night. We spent the night in a motel. We got up the next morning and we're going to fly on down to the city that we were staying at. And as we waited, we noticed on the screen, the monitors, that the flights going to that city only kept being canceled. all day long, those flights were canceled. When it came time for ours, well, ours was canceled too. So we had to quickly make arrangements to catch a flight the next day. There was a low air pressure system in the Caganjaro area, and so they weren't able to land the plane. In America, we have computer technology that they can land whether they can see where they're going or not. But in the Philippines, they don't quite have that. And so they need to be able to see where they're going to land their airplane. So the next morning, anyway, we got into the airport to have our scheduled flight. And the flight before us came up on the monitor, canceled. So we said, you know what, today's the day, the first day of the conference. We really need to be there. At this point, we're already going to miss the first half a day. And so in the airport, we just all got together in a circle, prayed, held hands, and just believed God that that flight would not be canceled. Not only would it not be canceled, but we would arrive safely. And God is faithful. Within 5 minutes, we were boarding the plane. They had to, of course, adjust the schedule of the conference because of that. And, of course, none of the pastors knew that we weren't going to be there. But they actually had a wonderful time just sharing testimonies. The pastors, you know, just as in any pastors across the states, oftentimes when you go to a conference, you get to meet up with old friends that you haven't seen for a while. So for them to be able to share testimonies of what God was doing through their ministries was a blessing for them. And they enjoyed that anyway. It was held in what is now a church, or it's a theater building, and it's no longer used as a theater. They're renting it as a church. At the same exact days that we had the conference, there was actually two other Christian conferences in the same city. One of them was actually John Maxwell was having a conference there, and then there was another major Christian conference going on. And the amazing thing is that in spite of all of that, we had almost double in attendance of what they were anticipating. So God knew that he had given something to us that they needed. That was a blessing. So while we were there, we had our 3-day conference. We also went out and prayed for sick. We had a couple children feeding programs where we would share the word with the children, and they were able to be fed. That's a program that they actually do monthly, continues to go. We divided up on Sunday and went to 3 different churches. And actually, we were busy the entire time. We had very little downtime. The highlight for me of the whole trip was going to the Jeepney factory and being able to, with your help, get them a Jeepney, order one from the factory. And I must say, I have never been able to go to Ford Motor Company and say, this is my order. This is what I want. I want this kind of vehicle. I want it to be this color. And I lay it out, and then they make it special for me. But that is what we've been able to do. Isn't that awesome? That is so exciting. Oh. Anyway, I just want to share Philippians 1, 3 through 7 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for all of you, making a request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meant for me to think of you all, because I have you all in my heart. And truly, that's my prayer for them. I would like to introduce a video that my son put together of our trip. So I just want you to enjoy it. One comment I want to make is, as you're watching it, you're going to notice kind of a lot with an open building and a few jeepneys parked in it. That is the Jeepney Manufacturing Company.
found nothing new. I found nothing pure. Maybe I'm just idealistic to assume the truth could be fact and form. That love could be a verb. Maybe I'm just a little misinformed. As the dead moon rises and the freeways sigh, let the trains watch over the tides and the mist, spinning circles in our skies. Are you ready to have the oil of the Holy Ghost pouring in your life? Let your love be strong enough to keep a curse down. Let your love be strong enough to weather through the thunder cloud. Fury and thunder cloud like stealing the fire from your eyes.
Thank you. so wonderful to see the body of Christ. And I love going into other nations and just seeing how the body, they always love Jesus so in such a unique way. They worship God. And I was just so blessed. I'm always blessed by the people. And the people, we've been praying for Virgie for a number of years now, and that church, and just to see the impact they're having in the Philippines was just really awesome, because they have a strong work going there, and it's going out, and they're producing disciples, and so it was just awesome. I feel like, you know, in my heart that we had a bullseye, and I believe that we hit that, you know, for the Philippines, and it was just good. We had good unity with our team, and everybody gave in such awesome ways, and was anointed by the Lord. One of the things that touched me too about the Philippines, which I've seen in other countries too, is that they're unchurched in a lot of ways. They just, you know, they get saved, they get filled, and doesn't take them long, and they're out in their call, moving in their call of God, and just moving right on out there. I know Virgie once, she was telling me about a young lady that was starting a ministry, and she was telling her, you know, you just go pray and you get that vision from God and move on out. I mean, so you see a lot of young people too that, you know, they're established in the ministry. They're, you know, it's like unchurched. It's just like you got the call, you're anointed, go do the work, and they go out and they do the work of the ministry. So that just really touched me. And then another thing that impacted my life was when they would see the gift of God in you, they would pull on that gift. And I just had a lot of people, even when I wasn't ministering, they would come up and they would begin to pull on the gift of God, and I just saw a lot of healings. And you know, I saw the need to go. That's one thing you always see when you go into the other nations. You see the need to go. I think of the scripture the Lord gave me many years ago. Gave me a dream and said, go into all nations teaching them. You know, we have that call. The body has that call. And when you go out, you see that need, because God begins to, we just saw how God began to touch the people and heal the people and bring new hope and life. You know, there's something about, you know, God, I guess, kind of rearranging the body and putting us someplace, you know, that we're not comfortable at or whatever. And he does something in us. He does a work in us at the same time that he's doing a work in the body. And, so it was just totally awesome. This little girl that was singing, she really touched my life, because she sang that song all the way through. I mean, she's just like, pull the anointing down. I mean, it was just so powerful. That little girl, I'll never forget. I mean, she was only 4 years old, and they said the 2 years that when they went before, when she was only 2 years old, she was up singing then too. And I mean, it was just amazing to see this little girl. I mean, she got into it. She was anointed, and just to see someone that young so anointed, it just touched me. It was just awesome. And then the worship, it touched me, because when we were with them, it's like, I mean, there's such a oneness there, you know, hooking up with the body of Christ in another nation, but yet they're your brother, they're your sister, you know, and you feel a oneness there, even though you don't know them that well, you know, you feel that it's like a divine connection. And so, I don't know, God just touched me in numbers of ways, and I know that God imparted to me as well as imparted through me. And I don't know, God begins to just put vision inside you when you go into the nations, you know, and you know that you're called to do that. And you know, I know there's people even here today, you're called, you know, and you're anointed, you know, it's praying that through, you know, praying that through and believing God for that vision. I stir you up today to hold on to that vision God's given you. I taught on several different things while I was there. One of the things was that I taught on stirring up the anointing, stirring up the demonstration of the power of God. And when we first got there, I think we had missed two meetings because we were late, and so I was the first one to speak, and boom, the power of God hit that place. It was awesome. People were being healed and delivered, and so it was just totally awesome. We were just so blessed to see what God will do through us and in us and to the Philippines. We love being there, and we were blessed. So let's see, Jerry.
Glory to God. Well, just watching that video just breaks your heart. For people, especially when you've been there and you've talked to those people that are in that video, man, it's so real. I felt like I was teleported right there. I could just reach out and begin to talk to those pastors and those people. It's so real. The mind of the Spirit is just so real. We sit here in our physical bodies and we really think that this is where we're at. This is going to decay. This is all going to go away. What's real is the Spirit. Go ahead and show that first slide. Praise God. You know, it all started when we come. Seems so long ago, but it seems so short a time. When I walked up here with that 5-gallon water jug and slammed it down up here. I guess some of you thought I was wild and crazy, but it all started by the coins going in there. And that same day, someone gave a large, very large donation, which kind of just built fire up in my heart and for the team. You know, it was just so magnificent. This is the Philippines. I want to give a little bit more of a demographic talk here, but there's China, Malaysia, Philippines right here. It doesn't look too big, but it covers a lot of territories. Next slide. As we zoom in, this is the lower, one of those lower islands. This is the lower bottom island, and right in, we were actually in this area right here, operating this area while we were over there. But they have a wide vision in the area in which they operate. And down here, I think in this area, Keith Hershey has a ministry down there. Now, down in this area, down here and off over in this area where there's a lot of different islands, there's a lot of terrorist activity and a lot of Muslim-type activity and stuff like that. Sorry about that. I was shooting them with the... Praise God. Right there in Davao. Let me keep it pointed that way. Okay, next slide. I love you, Lonnie. I really do. Can you go? This is Villanueva. This is Villanueva Christian Center. Now, this is that lower island. Right here in this little niche right here is where they operate out of. We flew into Cagayan de Oro. Next slide. I just want to show you the impact of where they're at. Each one of these dots represents one of the churches that was represented there at the conference, and they had a lot of their other pastors that show up. But each one of these dots is just a major region in which they break off and expand to other parts of Mindanao. And you've got someone over here on an island. But I guess that's all I want to say about that right there. Go to the next slide just so you can just leave that right there, okay? I just want to give you a little picture about the Philippines. It's actually 87 million people in that little country. There's 180 languages and dialects there. 180. And the principal languages spoken are Tagalog, Visaya, and English. And they're trying to break that down into one language. But you'd be surprised that the people up in Manila at the upper half don't understand the people on the lower half unless they're speaking English, because they don't understand the two languages. They just don't. The religions there, it's about 81% Catholic, 5% Muslim, 5% Christian, and 9% other of different religions. And the amazing thing about this is the Philippines has 7,100 and so many documented islands. It is very difficult to track people, places, and events when you look at that. And that's how terrorism can reign in a country like this, and how people can do things and disappear. You could actually probably go rob a bank and go off to an island. Nobody would ever know or find you. And it's hard to govern a society like this. It's very difficult. So as a Christian, you're really walking under the anointing to know. You have to have God's power on and with you there to be able to function. And wow, it's just an awesome place. The thing that I want to say is that the principalities that are over us here are not the principalities there. As soon as we stepped off the plane, or should I say, as soon as we got on the plane and we started flying over that area, I will say this much. As a team, we began to flow in the Spirit. And as soon as we hit the ground, there was an anointing of the Spirit. There was a flow of the gifts of the Spirit in a way like I hadn't experienced for several years. And I know that because there was just words given out. There was healing happening. There was prophecies. It was just all kinds of things just happening just because we stepped into that country. And you see that as when you go on a mission trip. And you need to expect that. We have a different principality here. We're dealing with different issues. And I'll let that lie. I'll let the pastor teach on that for another day. But let me go ahead and defer to the next person.
So I went as kind of, I wasn't really part of the team. I was kind of a latecomer, newcomer. So anyway, the entire time, like, I was getting ready to go and everything, I was thinking to myself, okay, well, this is kind of just like an open door. I can go or I cannot. Like, it's up to me. So I felt like my purpose in there, if I was going to have a purpose, it was going to be one that was created, not one that was, like, destined, you know? So, like, this is my opportunity. Do what I can with it. So anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit about the beginning of the trip. My mom talked earlier about how we were having problems with the airplanes and stuff. And while it was happening, I didn't believe it because I was like, that's a bunch of, oh my gosh, oh, there's weather. And yeah, right, the Philippines, weather doesn't exist. It's all hot always. And if it rains, it like lasts for 5 minutes and it's like taking a shower outside. It's amazing. So I thought that was pathetic. And I thought it was, okay, this is like something spiritual going on. Okay, well, that's fine. We'll just stay here and minister. Okay, that's fine. So I had that in my heart. It's like, okay, well, I'm right here, and I'm in the Philippines. I'm just going to minister where I am. So with that in mind, I didn't really minister that much. But when we came back from the airport, after we found out our flight was canceled, we came back to a different hotel, and we were like, okay, what are we going to do? So we stayed there, and we kind of just chilled out, and we tried to call Virgie. We couldn't get contact. We tried to call back home so they could contact Virgie, and it was just chaos. There was, like, nothing going on. We were kind of just flatlined, dead. So we decided, okay, we're going to go get something to eat because it was late. And so we went to this mall that some of our team members found, and there was a Starbucks there, and it was really nice, and so we went in there. there was also TGI Fridays. We went there, and we ate some stuff. So we still had our American food there, and that was very nice, nice blessing. So on our way there, we kind of got to check out, you know, the city and stuff. And this is a capital city, and so it's not like the ghetto yet. But it's still pretty ghetto. So we got like a view of it, and it wasn't too bad on our way there. And then when we were leaving to go back to our hotel, things had gotten darker. And it's like when things get darker, you know, when you turn the light off in a room, it seems like it just gets nastier, you know? That's what happened in where we were at, the Manila. And also, like, all the homeless people started to come out, and like they started begging and like sleeping on the floor, like on cardboard and stuff. And I was like, oh, there was this one guy and his daughter, and they had spread out, like, it was probably about 5 foot square, and they just sat down, like, on the sidewalk, sat down. And there was this little girl eating like some like something in a bowl. And like the father was just sitting there like looking. It's like there's nothing to do. And so we got to the hotel, and I was tired, and I just was like, oh, wow. So I went to sleep, and the team stayed up, and we contacted Virgie and stuff. But the whole night, I was thinking about those people, and I was like, my gosh, what if I was out there sitting on a cardboard bed? So the next morning, I woke up, and we got all ready to go and stuff, and we got our airport we got to go to real early in the morning. So we got downstairs and we went out to, the street. We were waiting for our taxis and stuff. So we were waiting there, and like our team's waiting there, and John's right here. I remember John because he actually played a big part in this whole story I'm telling you. And then there's this woman, and she was carrying a baby on her shoulder like that. And she was probably only like 22, but she looked like she was probably 40 because of malnutrition, and she just was skinny, skin and bones. And she went, so we're standing like up here, right? You know, okay, like the hotel is right here and we're standing right here. And this woman's standing like right here and she goes, like, can you help me? Like, I have money. Can you have money for me? You know. And I thought to myself, what are we here for? Like, my gosh. And my heart started beating all fast. And then all of a sudden I'm like, pray for her. Like, I heard God. I was like, pray for her. I was like, wait. Wait, what? You know, when you get, you know, God telling you to do something, you kind of like, okay. Like, throw it off the first time. If I hear it again, okay, maybe I'll go do it. So, I heard it again. I was like, oh, okay, okay. That was God. All right, I'll do it. I'll do it later. So, I was standing there. I was like, And it was just heartbreaking to look at. I'm kind of just like looking away, you know, just, I know you're there, but I'm not going to look at you. And then I noticed Jerry, and he's like moving around. I'm like, maybe Jerry's getting that same thing. Oh my gosh. And so I'm like, okay, if Jerry takes the first step, then I can do it too. I mean, John, I'm sorry, John. So, okay, John, he takes a step down. And I'm like, okay, that means I got to go. And so I went down. And John stayed up there. So, I mean, by that point, I was, like, focused. Whenever when you get really angry about something, it's just tunnel vision. You notice one thing. That was what I was seeing. I saw one thing, and it was that woman. I didn't even know John wasn't there anymore. So I went down there, and I thought to myself of when, I think it was Peter and John was walking up to the Temple Beautiful, and there was a beggar there, and he said, money and stuff, I don't have. To give you, but what I do have, I will give you. And he healed him right there on the spot. And so I asked the woman, like, can I pray for you? I don't have very much I can give you, but can I pray for you? And she didn't understand what I was saying. But I prayed for her and her baby. And I don't know if she knew what was going on, but then I gave her some money and she left. And then the taxi came and we got in the taxi. And when the door closed and everything, she came running back at the window, and she was like, because she changed the money into pesos, and it was a lot of money. So, the whole point I'm trying to say, I have to make this real fast, it took me $20 to show her that Jesus loves her. All right? So, it's not money that shows people that Jesus loves them. It's our love for them that shows them. And if we can just love them, that's all it takes to show them. So there.
So, I'm Ron Groen, and my wife Kathy's sitting in the back over there. Pastor Lonnie Summers is our pastor in Bellingham, Washington. He drives up every Sunday, and we just thank him, and Julie's his wife. And Pastor Jan Butler is our regional director, and he's just awesome too. So we just love you guys. We really, you know, are an extension of, by his word, really, up at Bellingham. You guys are an extension up there too, whether you know it or not. We have red pews exactly like yours. I don't know where we got them. But anyway, They're awesome. You guys have been a wonderful blessing to us. Okay, so I got the opportunity. Pastor Lonnie says we're going to do a mission trip to the Philippines. You guys have done that before. And I says, yes, I want to go. I was going to go with my brother-in-law, and at age 55, about 2 years ago, I was going to go on mission trips with him. And I kept putting it off, and he passed away. So I'm going, Lord, what are we going to do now? Somebody's got to, you know, come in my path. Well, it was. And I was going to go to build. And this one was like, what? Teaching? You know, preaching, teaching? What? You know, I'm not, so... Lord says, no, you're going to get in the Word, and you're going to learn, and on this trip, I've got to get more of the Word, so much Word, there's a lot of people in this church that have done that, really studied, and can get out there and be used by God, and a lot of it, you can start right where you're at, so that's what I did, and boy, I tell you what, we got over there, and I was going to go do the feeding the kids, or, you know, that was kind of like my out. Like, well, I've done Sunday school and Royal Rangers, and, you know, so that was kind of the easier out. But boy, I'll tell you what, we just got in there and got blessed, and we're prayed up, and God is so good. He moved in so many ways there. I just wish every one of you could get over there and be there and see what took place. You would have loved it. The worship and praise this morning too in here was awesome. And you know, you fly 20, oh, I was up 28 hours, you know, into Manila, and then we had to go farther and finally got there. You know, you get there and you start worshiping and praising, and you're already behind time. You get in there and we're just a fire of God. I mean, the anointing was there and the people were hungry. And these are our family. These are our family. You know, you know, we're away from home, but our family is right there in the Philippines. And I guess I was supposed to talk on a defining moment. There's so many, but, God really spoke to me. I mean, as much help as you guys have been to us in Bellingham and what's going on there, and God's good, and the miracles and the power of God happening, and same thing here. The same thing is happening in the Philippines. And when we got out by Venezuela, when we first went to visit Pastor Virgie's church, I heard a lot about Pastor Virgie, but I did not understand, you know, because, you know, it's all new to me. And we got out there, and you look up. I got a brochure here that, you know, probably some of you guys have read, and from Pastor Virgie and stuff when we're going to the Philippines. And you look over and you see the Bible College, Venezuela Christian Center Bible College. And then I looked up here at the church. Pastor Virgie lives above it, and it says, by his word. And I just, that hit me. I go, my goodness. Pastor Jan is up in Bellingham helping us. He's all around, you know, I mean, the regional director. He's your pastor. He's just, God is using him in many ways. And you get out there and he's, yeah, give him a hand. He's wonderful. Praise God. And I've grown to learn about a lot of these people here, you know, and the people that have gone through the classes and the Bible colleges and the classes you put on and the word that's in their heart and their life and we can just walk around everywhere and bring life wherever we're at, on our job, anywhere we're at, we can bring life to people. That's that they're hungry. We don't have to fly to the Philippines. But it's just awesome what you guys are doing when you get over there. And if you all have a chance, or anybody has a chance, otherwise you can give into it. You were giving for the jeepney. And, you know, that's going to be an awesome blessing. Bussing people around all week long. They're able to collect money to build more churches. Pastor Virgie's handing out money to all these different outlets, helping other pastors, and just going on and on and on, being a blessing. And that's going to help that. And then on Sunday, they'll bus people with that jeepney to church. They would have been using that to bus them to the conference. And that thing is going to get used a lot, and it will be taken very good care of. So anyway, but just seeing that by his word, I just like, I'm 28 hours from home and I'm right here. This is family. You know, so know that you guys are a huge part of what's going on in that Philippines. Whether you've even prayed once, thought about it, gave once, anything, you are a huge part. So bless you guys. Thank you.
Praise God. Hey, I think what impacted me more than anything, the first day of the conference, you know, we were worshiping, and it was just amazing worship. And I was just, you know, we were tired. We had traveled all that time to get there. And, you know, and like what Ron said, I mean, we got there, and the anointing was there. And it was just so present and so available to us to just step in and just get refreshed and get life back. But what really impacted me is I heard Pastor Jan say several times that, you know, and I, you know, and I know it's his thought, but I think there might be some fact to it, you know, is that probably revival's not going to hit America before it hits third world countries, before it hits other places. And when I got there, I saw these people that are just worshiping God. I saw the impact and the power and the anointing that was there and available to them. That's the same anointing that's available to us. But then when I looked around that city, I saw a harvest field that was so ripe and so ready. You know, and it's interesting, you know, the culture there. You know, there are several places where we were driving around and you see different things, and you understand that, you know, in Mindanao there where you see General Santos and Davao, that whole lower half of Mindanao is very heavily influenced by the Muslim religion. It's where you hear about terrorist attacks. Most of those terrorist cells are coming out of that area, General Santos. And there's a lot of influences taking place in that country right now. You can see the influence of the Western society there. I mean, you see most of them are carrying cell phones. Most of them are texting each other. Most of them are, you know, a lot of people, even if they're poor, have a phone and they're texting. That's the way they communicate. You know, it's amazing to me to see the influences, you know, but there's other influences as well. That's why Keith Hershey has a ministry center there, because, you know, his vision is to reach those areas that are vulnerable to threats and terror dangers, you know. So he has a thrust in that area, and that's why he's there. I have no doubt about that. That's why he's there. But I also saw there's other influences. There was some posters that said U.S. troops out now, and it said. I asked one of the pastors, Pastor Mario, what does that mean? What's driving that? And he said that it's communist influence from China. So there's a lot of influence there. And so you see it as kind of a vulnerable society. And so what I see, when I went to the conference, I saw another set of influence. I saw another opportunity for people to be able to move out and influence people. And so I saw an opportunity that God could use a people to move in an area that is heavily Catholic, is influenced by Muslims, influenced, and the world is going kind of crazy right now. And there's a lot of people that need Jesus, and those people need Jesus. And I thank God that we were able to partner with people to give a conference, and we're able to bless Pastor Virgie and do what we can do to bless her church, because the impact we have on that ministry is far-reaching beyond just what we did. You know, if you gave $1 to the Philippines ministry, or if you prayed one time, your influence in that area is amazing. It's powerful. It's impactful. You did something. No more, no less than me going. Sure, my level of engagement with this trip was a little more because I went. I sacrificed my time. I took my vacation and I went and ministered to them. But no more so than what you're giving. And if you give to the jeepney or you give to anything, you're impacting that population. You're impacting that church and you're influencing that area for the kingdom of God. Amen? And that's what I want to do, and that's what impacted me more than anything on this trip, is how much of an impact my money, my prayer, my time has on these people. It can reap great benefits. Amen? Amen. I'm done.
It's like a rodeo. I told Pastor John, in the rodeo they always ask, what bull did you draw? And if you know what rodeo is, you know what that means. What bull did you pick to ride today? Whew. Up on the bull. Got that handle. I'm ready to go. Well, I tell you, the Philippines was awesome. It was just so full and so rich and so large in what God is doing on the other side of the planet that I was overwhelmed the whole time. And then, of course, my teammates were so awesome. I want to talk about a song we sang and that we heard. I don't think we sang it. We might have. But we heard the little girl singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna." You ever thought about what that was and when it happened in the Bible? First, it was a prophecy in Psalms 118 where they said, "He that comes in the name of the Lord will be blessed." And then you find in the triumphant entry of Jesus coming in to the temple and they sang, "Hosanna, Hosanna to God in the highest." And they sing that in the Philippines, and we sing it here. But I think, and I don't mean to be disparaging to you, but I think they have received what that means. Actually, the word Hosanna means come and save. Or you could say, come and help. Or you can say, I'm desperate. I need you. It means all the same thing. I've done no damage to the word. And when we showed up in the Philippines, they were singing that song, and they meant it. So often, I know when I sit in pew there as Joe Pew sitter, and I sing that song, I don't mean a word of it. That's enough of that. I don't want to get meddling, you know. Get you in trouble. Now, oh yeah, I wanted to say what Pastor Jerome told us. Awesome. He is the supreme interpreter. As this team knows, it ever got Pastor Jerome to interpret with it. If you will just get a hold of his anointing as an interpreter, it'll be like you're talking and the words are barely coming out of your mouth and the words are coming out of his mouth. It's just, I can't describe it. I don't have words for it. It's the anointing of God. But he told us something that the Philippines, he said, you know, in America, you have seasons, right? I go, yeah, we have about four seasons, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, in the Philippines, we have two seasons. And I said, oh, two seasons? He says, yeah, it's hot and it's hotter. And he said, you guys come at the right time because it's only hot. And like I told the team on different occasions, I said, I don't know what it was, but the hotter I got and the more I sweated, the greater the anointing. Now, I don't know. Maybe we need to turn the heat up in here from now on, huh? All year long, just have it set at 90. Glory to God. Now, I too want to talk about this jeepney thing. That was our project. I know Grace and I sat. We were co-leaders of the team. But I surely would step back a step and say, really, right there was our leader. But we talked about this. What would we want to do? And we kind of, I don't know, just the Holy Ghost came up. We need to get them a jeepney. And I was kind of misled in my thinking. I was thinking of a jeepney like they already have. It's a little truck. Hold, you know, realistically about six people, but in function it holds about 26 people. I don't know how they get them in there. Pastor Ted's been packed in that thing. He knows what it's about. But it was a jeepney, and this thing holds 24 people, realistically. But in function, it'll probably hold the 24 plus 12 more, that's 32. And then if anybody's hanging on the sides. And that jeepney, did we have pictures of that? Did you have that? Are they there? That's the one we're buying right there. Jesus, the highway to heaven. And I wonder what scripture that's from. John 14:6. Who knows that scripture in this church? Well, I hope everybody knows that scripture because that's the foundation of Pastor Jan's, what he's doing here. And so that thing is so awesome. And then the front of it's going to have this billboard across the front. And it's, I believe it's going to say, "By His Word." Yeah, there's the front. And right up there is going to be a big placard that says, "By His Word Christian Center." How are you there in here? Were you guys translated or something? That is absolutely awesome. And on another place, I'm most likely it's going to have Light of the World Training, Light of the Word Training Institute tattooed on there. They graduate students every year. And this church is a mega part of that. And you see it in this stage, and we have raised enough money to get it totally done except for the last part, and that last part will cost about $4,500 more. Think of that. That's nothing. That's nothing. That's nothing. People in America spend more than that on their lattes and their cigarettes. And I know I probably spent about half of that, because when we saw the Starbucks sign in the distance, you should have seen these preacher boys. There's a Starbucks over there. There's a Starbucks over there. Because we were drinking, okay, just me. We were drinking instant coffee. Now, come on, if you're from the Northwest, what is instant coffee? Yeah. And $4,500, what is that? Hallelujah. I just got us another scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's see, I got to find it. It's one of those common scriptures we all know. And at this time, we're not going to take an offering. We're not going to hammer you with some scriptures and get you all emotional and just go ahead and snag your money. Unless Pastor Jan has another idea. But we're just going to let you, feed on this for a minute, and there will be offerings taken. You watch and see. You just pay attention. And I know this might sound like a lot of scripture. It's only like 9 verses. So let me read it, and then I'm going to finish, okay? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Oh, gosh. Never mind. You ever get the... No, verse 5. No, verse 1. No, go to chapter 8. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through God. Now I'm just going to finish here. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indispensable gift. Can I have my... Now, CJ, you remember how we prayed for people? And someone had to hold the microphone for the preacher. Come up here and hold this while I talk, because I need two hands. Now, it says here, you know, it's important to give. It's important to reach beyond yourself and to be reasonable. The scriptures are not asking for us to be unreasonable. He's saying, think about what you're going to do. You know, if you've got your reason is a buck, then it's a buck. And that is sowing abundantly. Don't think of amount. Think of what your heart tells you. Now, that's all good. But you know what struck me when I read that this morning? Is that my giving and sowing is an extension of God. And that when it reaches them, they give thanksgiving not to me. Initially, they give it to God. And what it stirs in the ones that I give to is prayer for me. And believe me, brothers and sisters, I need prayer. Now, how does God reach those people from here? Well, he has a place like By His Word Christian Center. This is By His Word Christian Center. And By His Word Christian Center says, okay, Lord, I'm in my heart right now, and I'm purposing to give a buck whenever they take an offering, whenever I want. You don't have to have some kind of offering, some kind of spurred on thing. All you got to have is catch the vision of your pastor in this church and what is happening in the Philippines. When you walk up, like Ron said, it says, By His Word Christian Center, kindergarten school. Did you know By His Word has a kindergarten school there? Do you know they go around the neighborhood in the village and bring those kids in and feed them and teach them? And the teachers are state certified? They're not rogues or renegades. They're actually taught, learned teachers. So you got your buck, and you give it to By His Word. Well, By His Word attaches it and prepares it, gets it ready, you know, to be an offering to the Philippines. And then God takes By His Word and He begins to reach to the Philippines. This is good right here. You ever read the scripture? It says that the arm of the Lord is not shortened. Huh? And he just reaches from By His Word. I mean, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, he reaches from here to there, and he gives an offering to the Philippines. You get my point? And you know what? When they get the offering on that end, the end holding over here is us. And then the glory and the honor goes to God Almighty. Hallelujah. Every joint supplies. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. I'd like to say one last thing, which I already said. Good job, Ron. He says, I want to go, Pastor Lonnie, but I'm only carrying the bags. I said, oh, that's fine, Ron. Last minute. What are you going to share with them at Pastor Jerome's church, Ron? Something. And then I think the last thing, if I can, and do it with in all humility, thank you, Grace. You have blessed us as a team. You have led us. I can't tell you what anointing this lady carries. And Brother Whitco, you're blessed, man. Amen. So thank you.